pleasant being squashed. That's what they do to grapes, jump all over them to make wine, and that's what God's doing to every one of us, is squashing us and squeezing us and putting us under pressure and getting the best out of us to make something beautiful. How are you? Are you good? My name's Tony, if you're a new person, and I'm part of the team here at Impact Church. My privilege to speak to you for a few moments this morning, and what I want to do is I want to start a new series of thoughts and sermons that we're going to do over the next 3-4 weeks, I'm not quite sure, and it's called The Journey, The Journey, and it kind of describes for me the process that God has every one of us in, like that song does, the fact that God's making something beautiful out of us. He's making new wine out of every single one of us. You might not like where you're at right now. Anyone ever had those moments? Those weeks, those months, those years, that life where you don't like where you're at right now in this moment? Here's my thought for you. God's got a better place. He's got a better posture. He's got a better position. He's got better things planned for every single one of us. Where you are is simply where you are. Where you are is where you are. And God wants to take you to the thought is like a promised land. And we've been looking at this over the last number of weeks. We've been talking about fighting for our future and looking at the story of the Israelites as God was bringing them out of Egypt, out of slavery, into a new place, into a better place, to a beautiful place called the Promised Land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And so today I want to keep developing that kind of thought a little bit, and I want to begin this series of thought about the journey that God has every one of us. You know, the Bible speaks about this. It speaks about the fact that God is leading us in paths of righteousness. It says He leads us and He guides us in paths of righteousness. It also says that God has a race marked out for every one of us to run. So there's paths, there's a race, there's a journey that God wants to take us on. And I want to invite you on the journey over the next few weeks. I want to invite you not to miss church over the next few weeks. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it, whatever you do, because we're going on a journey, literally, as we talk about the journey that God has you on. Even if you're not a regular church goer, even if you're not someone that would think that you have a relationship with God, can I say to you that you are on a journey also? You're on a journey, so I will invite you to participate in the thoughts that we're sharing together over the next few weeks. There's an old Chinese proverb. I love Chinese proverbs. I love the wisdom of the Chinese. And there's an old Chinese proverb that says, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. The journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. The problem for a lot of people is they don't take the next step. And you just got to, in life, you've just got to keep moving. You've just got to keep focused on forward momentum and walking and journeying and running and navigating the future that God has got planned for every single one of us. And so this journey is made up of little steps. And we use that language in our church world. You'll see posters in the foyer about your next step. And I want to encourage you, wherever you're at, whoever you are, whatever you've got going on, don't hesitate. Don't be slow in taking the next step that God has for you. For some of you today, the next step or the first step might simply be acknowledging God in your life and receiving the faith that Jesus Christ wants to bring into your heart and into your world. The Bible says if you believe in Him and confess with your mouth that you will be saved. If you believe in Him and confess with your mouth, I want you to understand today the first step, as the Chinese proverb says, the first step is to acknowledge and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that if you've not done that, or if you need to do that again at the conclusion of our service today. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to Ephesians chapter 2. If you don't have it, I'm going to put it on the screen for you. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 10. It says this in the Amplified Bible. I'm reading the Amplified because I like the way it exaggerates the thought and gives emphasis to it. It says this, for we are His workmanship,
We are his own master work, a work of art.
Look at your neighbour.
Says it all. We are a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above. This is what happens when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Saviour. It says that you are created in him, reborn from above, transformed, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God has prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life. You ready to live that? Who's ready to live the good life? It's not a gym. It's a journey. It's a place God wants to take you to. The good life, living that good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us. Can I announce to you today that God has an amazing life? He has an amazing journey. He has an amazing race, if you're ready for the challenge, marked out for every one of us. And so we need to connect with God. We need to engage with God. We need to cooperate with God. We need to walk with God. And we need to journey with God. Are you ready for the journey? Anyone ready for the journey? There's a journey that God has for every one of us. You don't have to take the journey. You don't have to. You can sit back, you can kick back, you can chill out, you can relax. You can refuse to take the journey. We don't have to get involved in the journey that God has for us. He doesn't make us do it. It's a choice. It's an intention. It's a decision to take the journey that God has called every one of us to be on. We can let fear, we can let discouragement, we can let failure, we can let sin hinder and halt our journey. It's a choice to do that, and sometimes people make that choice, and it's sad when people miss out on the journey, when you're the traveller, and you're waving people goodbye, and you're moving on in life, and you're going to a better place, and a brighter future, and a bigger frame that you want to live in, and you see people that can't let go, and can't move on, and just can't move forward, and it's a shame when people are halted and hindered in their progress, and in their journey. And I want to encourage you today not to be hindered and not to be halted, but to believe God for a bigger, better, brighter place in life that God has for you. You know, every journey takes preparation. Every journey, if you're a traveler, it takes preparation to take the journey that God has designed for every one of us. You know, when I travel, when I go to the airport and get on a plane, I like to travel smart. I have zero tolerance for being held up at the airport. Any friends out there? I don't like being held up. When I pack, I have a little black bag. Some would say I have a fetish for little black bags. I have numbers of little black bags. Not handbags, black bags. Little black suitcases. And if I ever go to a shopping centre, and it's very rare, you'll find me in the bag shops where I live. And in the bag shop, checking out the latest travel bag, the little black ones. And I got my little black bag out. That's hard to say. I get my little black bag out and I pack the essentials. And what I do is I see in my mind what I'm going to need and what I'm going to have to wear. And so on Monday, I'm going to wear this. And on Tuesday, I'm going to wear this. And I'm going to layer that with that. Yeah, that's girl talk. And I'm going to mix it up. And I can wear this for a couple of days. And here's my, those things. And I pack them smart. I pack them into my shoes. A little travel tip. If you're lacking space in your bag, pack your socks and your jocks and put them in your shoes and stuff them in there. Saves room in the baggage. Travel economically. I only take what I'm going to need, as opposed to some others. You ever seen other people pack? Some people that don't pack like you and they can't make up their mind what they want to take. When I travel, it's a little bag because I just want to go straight through. I want to have carry-on luggage. I don't want to be waiting for my luggage at the other end. I've had my luggage go missing before. I went to speak at a camp conference out at Alice Springs about a decade ago and they lost my luggage. Qantas lost my luggage, took it for a trip around the world, and it went somewhere, I don't know where it went, but I should have got frequent flyer miles for it. It went everywhere except for the place it was supposed to go. So I'm waiting at the carousel in Alice Springs, all excited to go as the guest speaker to this camp, and I got no clothes. I got nothing. All I've got is what I held in my hand, which fortunately was my iPad, which had my notes on them, and that's all I had. They gave me an $80 check and said, enjoy yourself. My bag turned up about 6 days later. I had nothing.
And I thought to myself, I'm never going to do that again. I'm going to keep control. I'm going to take my own bag. I'm not letting anyone get my bag. I'm going to carry my bag on. Whereas other people, sometimes they can't make up their mind what to take. And so they just pack kind of like everything. They pack for every season, hot, cold. They don't take little black bags. You've seen them at the airport. They take big bags. They're the ones that get to the checkout, not the checkout, what do you call them? The place where you check your bag in. And when you check your bag in, they're the people that haven't weighed their bag. You ever been caught behind someone that hasn't weighed their bag? Now, we all know there's a limit of 25 kg or maybe 30 kg. And they get there and they've not weighed their bag because they thought they would be okay. And they get to the lady and their bag is 35 kilos or 40 kilos. And they start unpacking and throwing all their stuff out because they're trying to get under the limit because they don't want to pay for the excess baggage. It pays to pack and be prepared. And then there's people that get to the international airport and they haven't got their documentation ready. They haven't got their passport ready. They haven't got their little travel card filled out. Or they haven't got the little medications they have and their toothpaste and all of the fluids in a little plastic bag, and you see them, it's embarrassing. Here they are pulling out all their delicates in front of everybody to repack and reorganize their bag and get the fluids out and get the medications out because they haven't done what they were told to do and haven't prepared themselves for the journey. I have friends who will remain nameless, who are going on an international journey, who didn't quite adequately prepare their passports. Like when I'm going international, maybe you're like me, when I'm going international, I make sure my passport is out, I know where it is, I know where I've got to get it, I know that it's not about to expire, but I have some unnamed friends who are going on an international trip, and they thought they knew where the passports were. They thought they had them. They thought they were going to be easily accessible. But on the night before their journey, guess what was missing? The passport. And it took hours and hours and hours of searching. They called us in to come and help them. We turned the house upside down. There was panic. There was tears. There was tantrums. There was a missing passport, which finally God stepped in, performed a miracle, and it turned up in a file, in the filing cabinet, in a random file that had nothing to do with travel, that had nothing to do with passports, that had nothing to do with anything, and this unnamed couple fell on the floor, thankful to God that God had rescued them, particularly the husband, because he looked like he was going overseas with the children, and the wife was staying behind because not being prepared with a passport. It pays to be prepared when you take this journey. So my big question is, what kind of packer are you? What kind of packer are you? Are you a picker? Do you pick your clothes strategically, or are you a thrower? Do you just take everything and anything and think, well, I might need these moon boots? Anyone in the room remember moon boots? I might need these moon boots, these UGG boots. I might need them in India. Who knows? I might. You're not going to need them. Don't take them. You're not going to need the jacket. Don't take it. Only take what you're going to need. Now, we know that God has called us. We know that God has a plan for us. We know that God's got a path for us and to lead us in the pathways of righteousness. We know He's got amazing promises for every one of us. We know He's got a promised land living for us, a better life, a better, brighter future. We know He wants to grow us, develop us, expand us. We know He wants to bless us and prosper us and use us. We know He's prepared good things for us to do. We know it's not about us just being blessed, but it's about us being a blessing and an influence to the people's lives that are around us, and particularly people that are far from God. We know we need to be prepared and ready for the journey that God has given every one of us to live, which is the journey called life. And that's the kind of traveler we want to be. We want to be the traveler that is ready and that is prepared. In Exodus chapter 12, we have the story of the children of Israel as they were preparing for a journey with God. I'm going to read a few verses from the Bible about journeying as it is in the people's lives in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 12, it says this about the children of Israel as they were preparing to leave Egypt after 400 years of slavery. They're about to eat the Passover meal, which was a meal they were to have, the last meal, celebrating their deliverance from 400 years of slavery to go to this promised land. And it says this, "Now you are to eat the meal in this manner. Be prepared for the journey with your loins girded." That is, with the outer garments tucked into the band. Be ready to go. "The sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. You shall eat the meal quickly. It is the Lord's Passover." So it was the last meal they were to have. It was a meal they were to eat, dressed, ready to run, ready to leave as quickly as possible, to go to a place called the Promised Land, a place where they'd build their own houses, have their own farms, raise their own families. They'd be landowners, they'd create futures, they'd raise families. It was a place they could never have imagined whilst they were in slavery, and they were told to eat this last meal quickly and be ready to run. I want to ask you today, are you ready to run? Are you ready to run? Are you ready to run into the future that God has got planned for you, for your family, and for your children, and for your future? Are you prepared for a higher place? Are you prepared for a better place? In Exodus chapter 17, it says this about the children of Israel. It says the whole Israelite community set out. The whole church, everybody set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. This is the journey we do together. We do it together. It's not a lonesome journey. This is not your own journey. This is our journey. It's a corporate community journey. And God calls us to travel and journey together. In Exodus 13, it talks about how God traveled with them. And it says, "By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. And by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or by night." So on the journey, the thought is God protected them and God provided for them. So the good news for us today is we don't travel alone. We don't travel alone. God journeys with us. He leads us. He guides us. He directs us. He protects us. And He provides for us. Now, there will be challenges on the journey. There always is. There'll be some bumps. There'll be some lumps. There'll be some detours. There'll be some hazards. There'll be some issues. There'll be some problems, but God travels with us. He never said it'd be easy, but He said it would be good. He never said it would be easy, but He did say it would be good. In Nehemiah, Nehemiah says this about their journey. He says, for 40 years, every man in the house is going to love this verse. For 40 years, God, you sustained the children of Israel in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and nor did their feet become swollen. You gave them kingdoms and nations. Why does every man love this verse? Because it says their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. Didn't have to go shopping every week for the latest fashion. She wore the same dress for 40 years. Same shoes for 40 years. Oh, what a dress that was. He wore the same clothes. The kids, they wore the same things. For 40 years, it didn't wear out. God was with them, God was protecting, God was providing, God was covering, God was making sure they had everything that they needed. And God was giving them whatever they needed for the journey. Here's the thought before we get into this. God's going to give you whatever you need on the journey. He's going to give you whatever you need on the journey. If you need a new business, if you need a new career, if you need new opportunities, God's quite able and capable and willing to bring those into your life and to give supernatural provision for the journey. Why? Because He's a supernatural God. As Cheryl said, He's a know-it-all God. He knows what you need before you know you need it. He knows what you need before you know you need it, and He gives it to us whilst we're on the journey. I want to talk today about a few things you need to pack that is absolutely essential for your journey. Number one, pack your faith. Pack your faith. You're going to need faith for the journey. You're going to need faith. Faith is simply our confidence that God is with us and God is for us. You need to be confident of that whilst you're on the journey. Faith gives us a confidence that we are not alone. It helps us overcome our fears. It helps us to face our fears.
Don't allow sin, don't allow fear to hinder you or halt you on your journey. Have you ever known someone that's afraid to travel? Someone that's afraid of flying? Don't put up your hand if you are. But if you're afraid of flying, there's a whole lot of the world you're going to miss out on. A whole lot of the world you're going to miss out on. You'll see it on Facebook and Fakebook. That's where you'll see it, but you'll never experience it. You'll miss out on so much if you are letting your fear hold you back. Don't let fear hold you back. Embrace faith on the journey that God's got the best for you. Don't let failure hinder you, or don't let failure halt you. Don't let the trauma of it abide in you. This is really important. Don't let the trauma of failure abide in you. The Bible says whatever we abide in abides in us. Jesus said, you abide in me, I will abide in you. Whatever we abide in, it abides in us. You let the trauma of failure abide in you, then it will abide in you, and failure will taunt you, failure will haunt you, failure will hinder you, and failure will halt you on your journey. Faith does the opposite. Faith gives you momentum. Faith gives you a sense of enablement and empowerment. The Bible says this, it says the righteous will live by faith. How do we live? By faith. By trust, hope, and confidence in God. So the very first thing you need to pack is pack your faith. The next thing we need to pack is our vision. Vision is your dream, it's your desire, it's a direction, it's your hope that you want to move towards. And what vision does is it gives us a sense of forward movement, a sense of forward momentum. Vision drives us on. You know, one of the things I've noticed about young people is how much full of vision they are. They just want to finish school. They want to leave school. They want to get their license. They want to get a girlfriend. They want to get a boyfriend. They want to get married. They want to have a relationship. They want to buy a home. They want to travel. They want to go to university. They want to get that degree. They want to do so many exciting things. You know, when you get older, not that I'm there yet, but when you get older and you've had a few challenges in life, you've had a few kickbacks, a few setbacks, a few traumas, a few hindrances, a few failures in your life. What tends to happen sometimes for people is they lower their vision. They lower their level of expectation in life. When you're young, the world's your oyster. When you're young, anything's possible. When you're young, you have a go and you don't care. When you get older, you can tend to play it safe and lower your sight of what you expect God to do. And we need to make sure that we don't give up on our vision and lose direction and lose desire and lose our dream. We need to know where we're going. And we need to know what we're aiming at. And vision, what it does is it motivates us and inspires us on the journey, and it releases energy and it releases passion. I love this next verse in the Amplified Bible. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Have you ever seen someone stumble all over themselves? Do a Stephen Bradbury? Stumble all over themselves and it just doesn't work out for them. But when they attend to what he reveals, when they attend to what God reveals, they are most blessed. How many of the people in the room would like to be most blessed? Not just blessed, but most blessed. Come on, lift up your hand if you want to be most blessed. I want to be most blessed. And so it says, if you want to be most blessed, then attend to what God reveals. In other words, see the dream, see the deal, see the hope that God wants to bring towards you, the career, the business, the relationship, the faith, the ministry, the church, the home. See the impact, the influence that God wants to bring into your world, the increase, and attend to it. Attend to what God ask you to do. If you can see it and you can attend to it, you will be, according to this verse, most blessed. So pack your vision and then pack your perseverance. You're going to need some fight. You're going to need some tenacity. You're going to need some determination. So don't leave that out of your bag. That's one of the delicates you need to take along on the journey. Jesus said, on the journey, in this life, you're going to have some trouble. You're going to have some trials. You're going to have some tribulations. In other words, you're going to go through some stuff. You're going to go through some fires. You're going to go through some deep waters. But he says, don't worry. I'm with you. I'm with you. My peace I leave with you. So the thought is the journey will not always be convenient. The journey will not always be
comfortable. There will be delays and there will be detours. But when that happens, don't grow tired. Galatians 6 says, don't grow tired. Don't grow weary of doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we don't give up. So don't pull back. Don't sit down on the journey. Don't get discouraged to the point of giving up and walking away. Don't stop because of challenge. That's where God makes the new wine. That's when it's getting hard. That's when God's pressing you and God's stretching you to develop something new and beautiful inside of you and your world. So don't stop because things get tough. Don't stop because crazy people do crazy things. Have you ever had some crazy people around your world? Who's got crazy people around their world? We all have. We all got a little bit of crazy going on. And sometimes crazy people do crazy things. That's why they're called crazy people. Don't walk away from the journey because crazy people do crazy things. If you live long enough, you know that crazy people are always going to be doing crazy things around your world. Jesus said this in Luke 18:1. He said, don't give up. Don't give up. It's when he was telling his disciples a story, and he told them this parable to make the point that they should pray always and not give up and not lose heart. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, don't lose heart? Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Pack your perseverance. So we need to pack our faith. We need to pack our vision. We need to pack our perseverance. And we need to pack our relationships. We need to pack the people that are going to travel with us. The people that are going to journey with us through this journey called life. Now, we all need relationships. We all need friends. We all need family. We all need supporters. We all need people to be encouragers. We all need people to be partners. We all need fellow travelers. Because that's what they do. They encourage us. They cheer us on. They challenge us. They look out for us. They correct us. They hold us to the path. We need those kind of friends. We need those kind of friends. We need to be those kind of friends because we're not called to do the journey alone. We're called to do the journey together. Others, they make the journey meaningful. They make the journey meaningful. That's why we work so hard in our church to connect people in terms of things like connect groups, because it's so important to have a group of people you journey with. So important to have a group of people who are going to cheer you on. And you know, our connect groups are not just something we do on a Tuesday night every fortnight in someone's home or a cafe. They are a group we journey through life with. That's why our pastoral care team here at church works so hard to get people connected in our church with a sense of faithfulness and consistency and continuity to coming to church on a Sunday, so that we're journeying together and we're traveling together. That's why we work so hard when we welcome new people. That's why we ask you to stay behind in the cafe and connect with people over a cup of coffee and to invest in the lives of other people and to build some relationship networks together, because the journey will be so much more enjoyable when you're traveling with a group of people. There's nothing worse than being a Neville Nobody loner going on a journey by yourself. There's no one to share it with. Every photo is you. Just you. It's just a selfie of you. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. It's still your face. It's just you. Change the background. It doesn't matter. All we see is your face. We want to see some others. Others make the story more enriching for every one of us. And that's why we work so hard to help church understand we need to be the church, not come to the church. We need to be the church wherever we are, group together, take every opportunity to do that, to help others on the journey, to really cheer each other on, to celebrate each other, and to connect in real and meaningful ways. This is what the Bible says about friendships and relationships. It says, friends love through all kinds of weather. Friends love through all kinds of weather, and family stick together in all kinds of trouble. Friends and family. What kind of friend are you? Are you a fair weather friend? In other words, are you nowhere to be found when there's trouble? Because that's when your friends need you. When the weather changes. When the weather changes, be a fair weather friend. And family, what kind of family are you building? Build a family that sticks together in all kinds of trouble.
You don't export your family because they're in trouble. You wrap your arms around them and you be fair weather friends and you be families that stick together through every kind of trouble. I want to ask you, do you have that kind of friend? Do you have that kind of family? If you don't, build it. Invest into it, because that's the kind of friendship and that's the kind of family that will make the journey amazing. And then pack your excitement. I love how excited people get when they're going on a journey. All they can talk about is their trip. All they can talk about is their holiday. All they can talk about is their planning. And they're on their iPhone with the Visited City app and they're looking at everything they're going to do when they get to the place, and they've planned it all and they've prepared it all, and we're going to go here and we're going to do this and we're going to do that tour. We're going to do this tour. We're going to just kick back. We're going to relax. You get excited when you go on. Imagine how excited the children of Israel were. 400 years as slaves, and finally God says, eat the meal quickly. Be ready. Tuck your, I don't know what you call it, tunic, into your belt so you don't trip over, because you're going to leave hastily. There's such an excitement in even just reading that for them, knowing they were going to the promised land and coming out of all those years of slavery. I wonder how excited you are about your journey that God has for you called life. You need to pack your enthusiasm, pack your excitement, pack your passion, because you're going to need it. You're going to need it. Have you ever heard, when you're on a holiday, the cry that comes from the back seat of the vehicle, someone yelling out, are we there yet? You know what that is? That's the cry of boredom. I'm over this trip. I'm over this journey. And when you're young and immature, that's what you do. Kids don't understand. You're going to be in that seat for quite some time, kids. Sit back, relax, take some Finergan. It's going to take a while. Suck on that. Get that into you. It helps. You're laughing because we've all done it. Because we had one particular child who shall remain nameless who sang a little song this morning on stage with Mia and TJ, but we won't name her, who the moment you left the driveway, and we were driving from Ballarat, just outside of Melbourne, all the way to Brisbane or Gladstone, we knew we had a good 21 to 24 hour drive, not even out of the driveway, not even left the suburb. Are we there yet? Are you kidding me? You give that kid something? Like, you got to have a sense of excitement and a sense of enthusiasm and passion about the journey that God has called you on. Paul puts it this way. He says, stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Sometimes you just got to stir up the gift that God's given you. It literally means fan it into flame. You know, I've discovered this about flames, because I live on a little bit of land, so I like fires. Everyone loves a fire. Everyone loves a fire, men particularly. They just love to see things burn. Men can stand around a fire and not even talk. Just look at it. We look at it for hours. It entertains us. It doesn't take much to entertain us. Just give us a fire. And we just stand there. We'll be happy. We'll come home smelling like smoke, but we'll come home happy. So if your man's grumpy, just send him out somewhere to a fire. Just let him watch something burn. Why? Because people love to watch stuff burn. They love to watch stuff burn. You know the trouble with the church around the world is it just needs a little bit of fire. Just needs a little bit of fire. Needs something for people to come and see. Needs a little bit of enthusiasm and excitement. We need to pack that, because you need it if you're going to make the journey. Fan it into flames. So get some fire on you. Get some passion in you. Get some zeal, some enthusiasm, some excitement for the journey that God has got you on. Enjoy who you are, because that's who you are. Enjoy where you are, because that's where you are. And enjoy what you have, because that's what you have. Don't always be wishing someone else's journey. You know, you do it on Facebook. You see people that are on holidays and journeying the world, and you sit back and think, oh, I wish that was me. You're only seeing the highlights of their thing. That's all you're seeing. Don't live wishing that you live their journey. You have a beautiful journey. You have an amazing race. You have a wonderful future that God has called you towards. Sometimes you can lose sight of that because of where you are right now, or who you are right now, or what's going on right now. The Bible talks about those things hindering us. You know, the only things that really hinder and hold our journey are the negative things of this life. God doesn't. God just wants to take us to the promised land. And He actually wants to get us there a whole lot quicker than we think. See, the story for the children of Israel was this journey to the promised land took 40 years. It took 40 years because
They couldn't see where God was taking them, and they didn't attend to what God told them to do. And so they stumbled over themselves. For 40 years, they wandered around this wilderness. And yet they tell us this journey was actually only a short journey. It wasn't far. If you were to walk it, it was actually only a journey of 11 days. 11 days from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, the gateway of the known promised land. An 11-day journey took 40 years because they continuously stumbled over their own unbelief. It's the negative things of this world that will make you stumble. It's not God. God's got a short journey to get you to the place he actually wants you to get to. But the problem is, we need to see what he wants us to do and attend to it and be attentive to it. Can I have our team come to stage, please? The journey. God's got a beautiful journey. We need to pack our excitement, pack our enthusiasm. Look at this verse. You know it well. We're going to look at it in another version of the Bible. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Not avoiding worshiping together, as some people do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the day approaching. Here, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, shares the thought of when we come together to worship, that we spur each other on. And so it's about us in our sense of engagement together to worship God, to pull others in, to get some passion, to get some enthusiasm, some excitement for the journey that God has not only me on, but he has us all on. This journey together. And to be inventive, not to be avoiding. Are you an inventive person? You're the kind of person that comes to church thinking, I wonder how I can inspire my friends today. I wonder what I can do. You know, the three young adults are saying to us this morning, they did that being inventive, just wanting to convey a message to inspire and encourage you today. People at the door, as they welcomed you to church today. I don't know who was on the door today, but no doubt you got a good solid handshake, a hug, maybe a kiss if you're lucky. They know you that well. Or if Lily's there, everyone gets a kiss. Even first timers. Unapologetically. Because that's what Lily does. Being inventive. Thinking of inventive ways to make people feel welcome. To feel the love. To feel encouraged. Don't be an avoider. I'm pretty good at being an avoider when I want to be an avoider. Like when I go to the airport and they do those bomb checks. You know, the people that are waiting there for you with the wand after you've gone through security. Like when I go through security, I listen to the instructions, unlike some other people who they don't take off the things they're supposed to take off, and they walk through the thing and a beep, 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 beep. It's like, seriously, did you not hear the message? You're going to hold everyone up now? And you walk through and there's a person waiting on the other side with a big wand. Here's the secret. My wife gets caught every single time. Every single time. I tell her she looks suspicious. She gets caught. She gets caught. No matter where we go, who we're with, Cheryl will always get picked out. I'll tell you why she gets picked out. This is why. She walks through and she looks at them. And she smiles. And she thinks that that's going to make it okay. It's not. If you want to be an avoider, drop your eyes. Don't engage. Don't look at them. Don't talk. Just walk gently past. So this is me at the airport. I go through. I take my R.M. Williams belt off because it beeps every time I go through. I take my RM boots off because they beep every time I go through. I put them back on. I get myself dressed. I grab my little black bag and I walk. I don't look up. I don't engage. I don't say hello. I don't say good morning. I go up the escalator. I get my coffee. I get my muffin. Cheryl walks through. Beep, 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 beep. She's forgotten stuff. Puts stuff back on. Walks through. Looks around at everybody. Says hello. Smiles. And then wonders why they pull the wand out and want to check her over.
At one airport, she had a little dog come up to her. You know when a little dog comes up to you at the airport, it's never good. It never, never, never good. Don't touch the dog. Cheryl sees the dog. She says, "What's the dog doing here? I haven't got any bombs." Don't say that word, please. Drugs. Was it drugs? Even worse. She said, "I don't have any drugs." Do you know how many people have said, "I don't have any drugs" that went to jail? Got to prepare for the journey. Prepare for the journey. Don't be an avoider. Sometimes people come into church, they're avoiders. Sit down. Avoid everything. Avoid the offering. Avoid the worship. Avoid the 2-minute time of shaking hands. Avoid the cafe. Walk straight out. Hang around. Enjoy the journey. You're going to be here for an hour and a half. You might as well enjoy it. Half an hour in the cafe. Connecting with people and friends. Having some conversations. Meeting someone new. Helping a fellow traveler. Be inventive. That's what we're called to be. Lastly, Paul says this about God and our journey. He says, "For it is not your strength, but it is God who is working effectively in you, both to will and to work." That is, he's strengthening, he's energizing, and he's creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. In other words, God's empowering you, God's engaging with you, God's energizing you, and he's creating in you the will to achieve his purpose. So can I ask you, as we stand to our feet, stand together. My prayer for you as we go on this journey is this, is that in your heart, a real desire to be more, to do more, to journey with God, walk with God, know God better, to fulfill your purpose, that kind of desire would come. That the desire to share your faith like never before would rise in you. That the desire to connect with people, people that love God in your church family, involvement in a connect group, involvement in Sunday services, involvement in the different things that happen in the next steps pathway that we have. That a desire to help others that are far from God to get close to God would rise in you. That a desire to invest in your future would rise in you. That you'd be more, do more, give more than you could ever imagine. Ever imagine. Ever imagine. That you could come out of a sense of slavery and go to a beautiful place, a promised land that God has for you. That God would literally have a pillar of cloud or fire follow you, representing his presence, so that you would know you're provided for and you're protected as you journey. And my prayer as we navigate the next few weeks is, may your journey go well. May your journey go well. And may the force and the person of the Holy Spirit travel with you all the way to the destination that God wants to get you to. Because it's a beautiful place. And while you're traveling, enjoy the views. Enjoy the scenery. Enjoy all the moments, the highs, the lows, the challenges, the issues, the problems, the spectacles, the sensational things that God will help you do and see. Because it's all designed as part of a journey called life. This journey, as the Chinese proverb says, this journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. And I want to ask every person in the room, have you taken that single step? That first step? Have you surrendered your heart and your life and your world to God? Have you asked Jesus Christ to abide in you? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sin, your failure? Have you asked him to walk the journey with you?
Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't a story. It's not a once upon a time moment. It's an historical reality that can change the future of every human being. It will change the trajectory of your life if you place your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ. He is the one that makes the journey come together. And He's the one that makes sense of it all. He's got a purpose, He's got a plan, He's got a future for you. But this beautiful journey begins with the first single step of embracing fully the person of Jesus Christ and the love that He has for you that was shown very clearly when He died on the cross. And no matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, no matter what the residue is that is around your world today, no matter how much of a mess you've made of life, no matter how out of control it might feel or look, God can come into your heart today and walk the journey with you to a better place. To a better place. Take your brokenness and begin to build wholeness. If you can see what God wants you to see and attend to it, you will be most blessed. The first step to that posture and place of being most blessed is to receive the greatest gift that the world has ever seen, which is the gift of the person Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. If you've not yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you today to do so. I want to invite you to do it in a moment by lifting your hand when I ask you to lift your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to highlight you. I want to give you the respect and the space in this God moment to make your own personal decision. We want to cheer you on, but we want to give you privacy for a moment. I'm going to ask you in a moment if you want to make that decision or if you need to remake it. You made it some time ago, but you've walked away. You need to come back to God today. Renew your love for Him and allow Him to engage with you afresh. I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand and look me right in the eye. I'll see your hand. I'll ask you to put it down. I'm simply going to pray for you. Pray for God to come to you and into your heart today to start afresh. If that's you, would you lift up your hand nice and high? Right across this building, whoever you are, and if you see your hand, look me in the eye. I'll acknowledge you. You can put your hand down. Thank you, ma'am. You can put your hand down. Somebody else, is that you? Is that your call, your decision, your intent, your choice right now to make that decision? Begin this journey of 1,000 miles with the first step. Have you taken that first step? If you haven't, now's your moment. Would you lift up your hand nice and high and let me see your hand? You can put your hand down, and then I'll pray for you. Last time, right across the hall. If that's you, lift up your hand. Let me see your hand. Let me pray for you. Thank you, ma'am. You can put your hand down. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray today for these two ladies that have lifted their hand. I pray for the love and the grace and the presence of Jesus to come into their hearts right now and to revolutionize and restore and totally change their hearts in Jesus' name. Forgive them of this sin. Heal their brokenness. Holy Spirit, come and reside, abide in them, and make them anew, and may they never be the same again, and help them as they begin this journey of following you very intentionally today in the most precious, beautiful, powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, church, let's welcome some fellow travelers today. Let's welcome some sojourners today. Thank you, Jesus.